Today's Amud is Beitza Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. We're holding on Amud Vav Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, by the words Ve'elu Hein Mishum Rishus. So we learned the Mishnah in the previous year. The Mishnah said that there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov except for Eichel Nefesh. There's a heter to perform Malacha L'Tzarech Eichel Nefesh at times. There's a heter to perform Malacha L'Tzarech Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tov. That heter doesn't exist on Shabbos. Otherwise, all things are the same between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Malacha, which is Asr on Shabbos, is also Asr on Yom Tov. And the Mishnah added that not just Malacha, but even the Rabbanans, the things that the Rabbanan were geyser on, that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, those activities are also Asr on Yom Tov. And the Mishnah listed three categories of activities. The three categories, number one, category number one was Mishum Shavus, category number two was Mishum Rishus, and category number three was Mishum Mitzvah. The way we explained, and this we'll see is the maskan of our Gemara, is that Shavus means it's an Issa D'Rabbanan that's not Mitzvah related. Rishus means it's an Issa D'Rabbanan that's Mitzvah related. It's not exactly a Mitzvah, but it's related to a Mitzvah. And Mishum Mitzvah means that it's Mamish a Mitzvah. Afal Pikein, the Rabbanan were Geyser, that it's Aser. Those are the three categories. Shavus, Rishus, and Mitzvah, all those things that are Aser to do on Shabbos are also Aser on Yom Tov. So the first thing that the Mishnah mentioned, now beginning our sugya now, is that ve'elu hein mishum rishus loydanin. The first example was that you're not allowed to dan a din Torah on Shabbos, and that iser is going to apply to Yom Tov as well. So now ask the Gemara. We called this a rishus. We said ve'elu hein mishum rishus, and then we said loydanin. Now we explained that rishus means it's not really a mitzvah. It's mitzvah related. It's not really a mitzvah though. Ask the Gemara, why is being dan a din Torah not a mitzvah? V'ha mitzvah kavid. To dan a din Torah is a regular mitzvah. Perhaps because of the pasuk of Bitzedek Tishpeit Amisecha, that's the way the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs learns that there's a mitzvah to dan a din Torah. He brings it from the pasuk of Bitzedek Tishpeit Amisecha. Other Rishonim bring other psukim. But there's a mitzvah, mamash a mitzvah min ha-Torah, to dan a din Torah. So why is the Mishnah calling this a rishus? So says the Gemara, Leitzricha di'ika da'adif mine. We're discussing a case where there's someone else in the town who's more qualified than you. So if you're the most qualified person in a Hanami, then the responsibility is upon you. You're supposed to be dan the din Torah, and avada that would be considered then Mishum Mitzvah. The reason why the Mishnah calls Loidanin in the category of Rishus, which is things that are just mitzvah related but not exactly a mitzvah, is because there's someone that's more qualified, and therefore really the mitzvah is up on him to do to dan the din Torah. So it's mitzvah related for you to do it. Lamaisa, it's Asr, the Rabbanan were geyser that you're not allowed to dan the din Torah, and that Isra applies on Shabbos, and it also applies to Yom Tov. The way Taisus learns the Gemara, that when the Gemara asks v'ha mitzvah kavid, so the Gemara is asking that why were the Rabbanan geyser? Or how could the Rabbanan be geyser? Why? Of course the Rabbanan wouldn't be geyser. The way Taisus learns the Gemara is that the Gemara is asking that it should be mutter to dan din Torah because it's actually a mitzvah. And avada, the Rabbanan would not be geyser on a mitzvah. So it's luchayra, it should be mutter to dan din Torah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. To which the Gemara answers, Leitzricha dika da'adif mine, means that ena chanami. That if you're the most qualified person, said ena chanami, you could be dan din Torah. Leitzricha, this that the Mishnah is saying that it's aser, is discussing a specific case where there's someone that's more qualified. That's when it's aser to dan din Torah. But if you're the most qualified person, so ena chanami, for you it's going to be mutter to be dan din Torah. And that's the way we'll see. We're going to have a lot of similar shakla v'tarias as we just had in the Hemshech of the Gemara. And Taisus learns always the kash of the Gemara of the Hamitzvah Kavid is that it should be mutter. And the Gemara is answering, ena chanami, it's only aser in a specific case. But the way Rashi learns is the way we originally read it. Rashi learns that the Gemara is just asking a kash in terms of organization wise. That why are you calling this in the, why are you categorizing this as a rishus, the hamitzvah kavod, it should be in the category of mitzvah. It's not a halachic question. The rabbanim were geyser, avad, it's aser. The Gemara was just asking, why is it being categorized as a rishus? To which the Gemara says, like, tzricha dika da adif mine. There's someone that's more qualified, that's why it's being categorized as a rishus. But in a chanami, even in the case where you're the most qualified, that's also going to be aser. Just the reason why this is categorized as a rishus is because there's someone that's more qualified. Says the Gemara, well again, we'll read it like Rashi, just to keep things simple. So says the Gemara, V'loi mikachin, we said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos, and that is a derabbanan, that you're not allowed to get married, that's going to apply to Yom Tif as well. Now all of these, the reason why they're Aser, we'll get to later in the Gemara. But this was the next case of the Mishnah, that the next type of Rishus, within the category of Rishus, the next example the Mishnah gave, is that you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos and Yom Tif. So now again, ask the Gemara, V'ha mitzvah ka'avid? Again, the way Rashi learns, is that why are you calling this a Rishus, which is mashmudge, just like mitzvah related, to get married is a full-fledged mitzvah. So what's the mitzvah? So for sure there's a mitzvah als puru revu. In order to be mekayim puru revu, you have to get married. So getting married is a hechsher, is a mitzvah to be mekayim puru revu. And therefore, that's what the Gemara means to ask. Va mitzvah kavod, there's puru revu at stake. Additionally, the Rambam learns in Hilchos Ishus and Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam learns that the etzem maisa of getting married, that itself is a mitzvah. Meaning even if a person is already Mekayim Puru Revu. Or let's say a person who, Layalainu, is not unable to be Mekayim Puru Revu. And whatever the situation is, a person has a mitzvah to get married just for the sake of being married. It's nothing to do with because it's going to lead to Puru Revu. Just the etzem idea to get married, to be married, to be with someone else, that the Rambam holds is a mitzvah. The Rush seemingly is Chaylik. The Rush is in Ksuvis in the first parak in Simen Yud Beis. The Rush seems to be Chaylik. He says that there's no mitzvah to get married. But the Rambam learns that no, there's a mitzvah to get married. So the Fila Rambam, the Gemara is asking, first of all, there's Puravu, and there's Kedushin, there's Mitzvah's Kedushin, Vaha Mitzvah Kavid. Rashi over here learns the Gemara, Rashi says, on the bottom line, that V'lei Mekachin Vaha Mitzvah Kavid, Rashi says, Shanai Se'isha Lifreis El Rabbis. Rashi focuses on Puravu. So I saw someone to bring a raya from this Rashi, that Rashi holds like the Rush. That Rashi holds that there's no mitzvah be'etzem to get married. The only mitzvah of getting married is just to be Mekayim Puru Revu. And that's how Rashi explains this Gemara, that v'ha mitzvah ka'avid, that there's a mitzvah to get married, so why are you calling this a Rishos? There's a mitzvah to get married, it's going to lead to Puru Revu. So says the Gemara, that in a chanami, if you don't have children, so then there's a mitzvah to get married, like tzricha de'is la'isha ubanim. The case of the Mishnah we're discussing, the reason why it's being categorized as the case of Rishus is because we're discussing a case of a person, a man who has a wife and children. Rashi brings, either he has a boy and a girl, like Beis Hillel, or he has even two boys, like Beis Shammai, whatever the case, but he was already Mekayim Puru Revu. That's the way Rashi learns, he was already Mekayim Puru Revu. And Mamela, there's no more Mamish mitzvah to get married, it's still a little bit of a mitzvah, so it's mitzvah related to have more children, but it's not Mamish a mitzvah, so that's why Kedushin is categorized as a Rishus, because we're discussing a case of a person, the Isla Isha Ubanim. I thought it was a little interesting. If you learn that the focus of the Gemara here is on the mitzvah Puru Revu, it's interesting that the Gemara then says, the Isla Isha Ubanim. Just say the Isla Banim. Say he has children, so therefore there's no need for him, there's no mitzvah for him to get married. It sounds like from the Gemara, like the Rambam Mishtikl, it sounds like, no, that even being to have a wife is a mitzvah. And therefore the Gemara is asking, v'ha mitzvah kavod, to get a wife, and to have children, there's both of those mitzvahs on the line, and to which the Gemara says that no, both mitzvahs are taken care of. He already has one wife, and he already has children. It's interesting, Lefi Rashi, why do we have to mention the fact that the Isla Isha. Okay, Stam Ha'ara. But anyway, so the Gemara is saying that that's why it's being categorized as a Rishus. It's being categorized as a Rishus instead of a mitzvah, because he was already Mekayim the mitzvah. The next example of Rishus, we said, was V'loi Chaltzin V'loi Miyavmin. That you're not allowed to do Chalitza or Yibum on Shabbos or Yom Tov, which means if, let's say, Reuven is married, and his wife, and they don't have any children. Reuven's married without, and he doesn't have any children. And Reuven dies without any children. So now he has a brother, Shimon. So Reuven's wife falls to Yibam or Chalitza to Shimon. So Shimon's not allowed to do Chalitza or Yibam with Reuven's wife on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Ask the Gemara, v'hamitzvah kavod, but it's a mitzvah. We're not focusing on the chalitza. Chalitza is like a kilu b'di'evet, but there's a mitzvah to do yibum. So if there's a mitzvah to do yibum, so why is this being categorized as a rishos? It's a mitzvah. It shouldn't be categorized as a rishos. So says the Gemara, like tzricha di'ika gadol, that for Shimon, this is not really a mitzvah, because there's another brother. There's Levi. And Levi is older than Shimon. And the halacha is that the mitzvah of yibum is really on the oldest brother, on the oldest remaining brother. So therefore, it's really Levi's mitzvah. U'mitzvah begadol liyabim, says the Gemara. And it's a mitzvah for the older brother to do the yibum. And therefore, that's why for Shimon to do chalitz or yibum, for Shimon to do yibum, it's only a rishus. It's mitzvah related, but you can't call it mamish a mitzvah because it's not really his mitzvah. Really, it's Levi's mitzvah. So now those are the examples of rishus. And now says the Gemara, why were the Rabban and Geyser and all these things? Why were they Geyser not to dan din Torah, not to get married, and not to perform chalitz or yibum on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Says the Gemara, v'kulu taim amai, what's the reason for all of these? It's a gzeira shema yichtaiv. The reason that Chazal asserted all these things is because of gzeira that a person might come to write. If a person dons a din Torah, Rashi says, so he might come to write down the psak din that came out from the din Torah. If a person's allowed to get married, he might write the shtar erisin, the shtar kedushin, and if a person does chalitza, he might write the receipt, so to speak, the shtar chalitza, or the ksuva for yibum. There's different things that and all these mitzvah-related activities involve, typically would involve some sort of act of writing, and because of that, Chazal were geyser not to perform these activities, even though they're mitzvah-related, on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Ve'elu hei mishom mitzvah. The following are examples of things that are aser, even though they're mamish a mitzvah, and we said in the Mishnah that the examples of mitzvah of things that are in this category of mishum mitzvah is like makdishin, you can't make something hektish, like marichin, you can't pledge your erech, your predetermined value based on your age and gender in the Torah, your erech, you're not allowed to pledge your erech on Shabbos or Yom Tov, like machrimin, also another type of hektish, you're not allowed to do any of these things on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why not? Says the Gemara, gzeira mishum mekach u'memkar. All these things, you're changing possession, you're changing the ownership of all these different money. So it's like you're selling something. So when you're being makdish something, also you're changing ownership. You're giving it over to hektish. It's like, almost like a sale. So they assert, Chazal assert all these things because you might come to do business on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and therefore they assert all these things. The problem with business, Rashi says, is either learned out from Rapasik and Yeshaya that says v'daber davar. Or the problem with business on Shabbos and Yom Tov is that you might come to write. So then Rashi asks, if the Chazal were geyser, let's say you can't make something hektish because then you might do business. And why is business a problem? Because then you might come to write. So that means asering to be makdish something is gzeira l'gzeira. That's Rashi's kasha. So then it should be gzeira l'gzeira. So why did the Chazal aser a person and say that, and why were they geyser? And they said, why did they say that you're not allowed to be makdish something on Shabbos or Yom Tov? L'chayr, it's gzeira l'gzeira. So Rashi says that no, that all these things are mamish like mekach u'memkar. This is like included in the gzeira of mekach u'memkar. So even on the tzad that mekach u'memkar is only aser because of a chashash that you might come to write, hektish wasn't like a new gzeira. Hektish was included in the gzeira of mekach u'memkar. These activities are all considered mekach u'memkar mamish. They're not usser really because you might come to do mekach u'memkar. They're part of the isser of mekach u'memkar. Another example of something which we said is included in this category of mishum mitzvah, we said in the Mishnah, v'loig magbihin trumais u'maisras, that you're not allowed to take off truma and maiser on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So this is something already we've had many times. So ask the Gemara Pshita, we already know this, that there's a problem, that it's near kimisakin, that if you have your fruit, let's say you have a bunch of grapes, that were all tevel, you weren't allowed to eat it, and then you take off Truma and Maaser, and now all of a sudden you're allowed to eat the remaining grapes, so it looks like you fixed it. It looks like you fixed it. It's like Nira Kemisakin. We already had this many times. So what's the Chiddush of our Mishnah? Meaning there are a lot of things that are also Midrabanan on Shabbos that are Misham Shvos, Misham Rishos, Misham Mitzvah. There must be some sort of Chiddush in all the examples that the Mishnah chose. What's the Chiddush in the fact that you're not allowed to take off Truma and Maaser? We know that. That's very Pashut, that it's Nira Kemisakin. So what's the Chiddush? Says the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, he taught, he explained, that Leinitzrucha Ela Liyitna Lekayim Baibayoy. We said that what's the problem with taking off Truma and Maaser? Is that when you have your pile of grapes, and then you take off your couple of grapes for Truma and Maaser, and the rest of the grapes now become mutter to eat it, so it's Nira Kemisakin. So that's Nirakim, so that's understandable if you just take off the couple of grapes for Truma and Maaser, and you move it to the side, and now you want to eat the rest of the grapes. I understand it's Nirakim Misake. When you took off those couple of grapes, and now you go ahead, and you dig away at the remaining grapes, so it's Nirakim Misake. But if you take away a couple of grapes, and you go with it straight away to the Kayin's house, and to the Levi's house, so it looks like you were just taking a grape to give it as a gift to the Kayin. It doesn't look like you were doing an act of fixing the remaining grapes. So you might have thought that in such a case, to take off Truma and Maaser should be mutter. Maybe in such a case, it's not really Nirakim Misakin. If you're going right away to give it to the Kayin on that day, you go and you take away the grape, and you go and you bring it to the Kayin's house, so maybe it's not really Nirakim Misakin so much. And you might have thought that that's mutter. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah, that no, they were geyser, there's no such thing. You're not allowed to take off Truma or Maaser on Shabbos or Yom Tov. However, says the Gemara, Vahani Mili Peira de Tfili Me'atmo. That's only, at least when it comes to Yom Tov, that which you're not allowed to take off Truma and Maaser, that's only when it comes to something which was already Tevel from before Yom Tov. Something which was Tevel before Yom Tov, so you're not allowed to take off Truma and Maaser on Yom Tov. Avopere the tefili ha'inna, but if you have something which became tevel on Yom Tov, so what's an example? How does something become tevel on Yom Tov? Kugoin isa. Let's say you have some dough. You were preparing to make some bread, and you make some dough, and so now you're supposed to take off, separate challah. Until you separate challah, it's considered like tevel. So lafrushe mina challah mifarshinan v'yahavinan l'kayin. So you're allowed to take off challah, you're allowed to separate challah from the dough, and give it to the kayin. The problem with taking off truma and maaser on Yom Tov, they were only geyser on something which you could have done before Yom Tov. If it was tevel already from before Yom Tov. But if something which became tevel on Yom Tov, the example being, if you're making fresh bread, so you have new dough, and you want to separate challah, so that's actually going to be mutter. That you're allowed to do, and you could go ahead and you could give the challah to the kayin. Ask the Gemara now. We mentioned that there are three categories. The first category we said is Misham Shvus. Now Shvus means it's Derabanan. And then we said the other two categories are called Rishus and Mitzvah. So ask the Gemara now, Vahani Misham Rishus Ika Misham Shvus Leka. These things in the middle category, in the category of that's called Rishus, that they're Mitzvah related, they're only Rishus, they're not also Shvus, meaning they're also Isuri Derabanan. Shvus means it's synonymous with Issa Derabanan. So we call the three categories Shvus, which really just means Asur Midrabanan, Rishus, and Mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, the middle category is also things that are Asur Midrabanan. So it's also Shvusim. The middle category that we called Rishus is also examples of Shvusim. And then also ask the Gemara, the third category, Vahani Mishum Mitzvah Ika. This third category, these are things that are only Asur. They're mitzvahs. It's only part of the category of mitzvah. Mishum shvus leka. They're not also isurei derabanan. Meaning everything's really a shvus. Every case in the Mishnah, we divided it into three categories, but really everything is asur midrabanan. So what does the Gemara mean? What's the Mishnah mean when it divides it into three categories? Everything l'chayra is included in the one category of shvus, that they're things that are asur midrabanan. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, and we explained this when we read the Mishnah, but now we're seeing it in the Gemara, that Amar Rabbi Yitzchak explained that Lo Mibayi Kamar. Now, the Mishnah means to say is it's a way of talking that it's to bring out the chiddush that loymi by shvus grei dasa daser. The category of shvus, the first category, it's things that are asim midrabanan, but they're just plain isurei drabanan, nothing to do with mitzvahs. They're mundane acts. So the Mishnah means to say that, needless to say, the things that are shvusim, that they're just mundane acts, and the rabbanan were geyser on them. So those things, just like they're asur on Shabbos, they're also asur on Yom Tov. That's more pashut. El afilu shvus the rishus. Even the middle category, which we called rishus, which we really mean it's a shvus the rishus. It's an isurei drabanan of things that are rishus, that are mitzvah related. Those things also nami are aser. Also those things they were geyser on, just like they were geyser on them for that you're not allowed to do these activities on Shabbos, they were also geyser that you're not allowed to do these activities on Yom Tov. So it's a bigger chiddush. Even things that are mitzvah related, those yisurim apply to Yom Tov just like they do to Shabbos. V'loy mi bay shvus de rishus to aser, ela afilu shvus de mitzvah nami aser. And not just the rishus acts, the things that are mitzvah related, but even things that are mamish mitzvahs, the shvus de mitzvah, the third category, the things that we call the mitzvah, it's really shvus de mitzvah. It's things that are mitzvahs that are asur midrabanan. Even those things, they chazal were geyser on them, and just like they were geyser on them on Shabbos, they were also geyser on them that you're not allowed to perform these activities, these mitzvahs on Yom Tov. That's just the way you're supposed to understand and read the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah concluded with a line, and it said that Kol Eilu B'Yom Tov Amru V'Chulu. Really, we're going to be focusing on the last line of the Mishnah. The last line of the Mishnah was that Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos Ela Eichol Nefesh Bovad. That the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is Eichol Nefesh. That on Yom Tov there's a heter of Eichol Nefesh, and that heter does not exist on Shabbos. So ask the Gemara, really, the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is Eichol Nefesh? So you mean to tell me that if I learn Maseches Beitzah, I'm not going to find anything else that's mutter on Yom Tov and it's usher on Shabbos? Ask the Gemara, we don't have to go too far. We're a minu, we just had it on Lamed Hei Amabeis. It says, Mashilin Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov Avoloi B'Shabbos. We just had it 2 blocks ago. The Mishnah said that if you have fruit that are on the roof and you see it's about to rain, you don't want your fruit to get ruined, so you want to bring it into your house through the sunroof. So we said that level of tircha, to be metaltal all your fruits and to bring it and to throw it down the sunroof, that's something which is mutter on Yom Tov and it's asur on Shabbos. So how could the Mishnah tell me that the only difference, ain't bein Shabbos the Yom Tov, that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that Eichol Nefesh is mutter on Yom Tov, which is not mutter on Shabbos? That's the only difference. We just had a difference on Lamed Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah taught us that you have this heter to bring the fruit off the roof on Yom Tov, and you don't have that heter on Shabbos. So how could the Mishnah now by us on Lamed Vav Amud Beis say that the only difference is Eichol Nefesh? So says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yosef Leikasha, Enachanami Tzemachleikas, Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabbi Yeshua. Our Mishnah on Lamed Vav Amud Beis, our Mishnah which says that Ein Bein Shabbos LeYom Tov, that there's no difference except for Eichol Nefesh, that's Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah which was Matar on Yom Tov, this Kula, that gave this Kula, this Heter, to bring the fruit off the roof, because of Hefsid, that we cared about the fact that this person's fruit are going to get ruined, and he's going to lose, he's going to have a financial loss, that's Rabbi Yeshua, who we find elsewhere in Hilchos Yom Tov, was also Mekel to prevent the financial loss. Meaning we see that's Rabbi Yeshua Shita, we find that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua have this Machlekes, should we be Mekel in Hilchos Yom Tov to prevent a financial loss? Rabbi Yeshua holds that we are Mekel, and Rabbi Eliezer holds that we're not. So the Mishnah that said you could get the fruit off the roof, that's Rabbi Yeshua, who that's his Shita Sachayim. He holds that you're allowed to be Mekel in Hilchos Yom Tov to prevent a financial loss. Our Mishnah Lamed Vav Mebeis, which is Mashma, that the only difference is Eichon Nefesh, that's going like Rabbi Eliezer, who doesn't give Heterim to prevent a financial loss. Where do we see this Machlaikas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? So says the Gemara de Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, that Eisai Ve'espenoi Shenaflu Labar. A person, he has some cows, and two of them fall into a bar. on Yom Tov. He looks inside the bar and he sees on the name tags, he sees it's Betsy and her daughter. It's a mother and a daughter. It's two cows and they're in the mamash. It's mother and daughter. Now, the problem is that to bring a cow, to bring an animal from outside, to carry it outside the bar is really batsim. It's total shalei letzarech. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. If you're shechting it so then it has a tzarech, then you're allowed to do that. But if you're not going to be shechting the cow, so then that's total shalei letzarech. You're not allowed to do that. So now when you have these two cows in there, so typically if they would be unrelated cows, so yeah, you could take two cows and you could eat both of them on Yom Tov. So that would be fine. The problem over here is that there's an iser. The Torah aser is a person, he's not allowed to shecht a mother and a child on the same day. A mother child and a mother animal and a child animal are not allowed to be shechted on the same day. So now this guy, he looks into the pit and he sees it's Betsy and her daughter. So now he's not going to be able to shecht both of them. Being that he can't shecht both of them, he's not going to be able to take both of them out of the bar l'chayra, because one of them he's doing a total shalei letzarichan, because one he can't shecht both of them, only one of them is shechtable, right? He's only able to slaughter one of them. So what's he going to do? So says the Gemara, says the Braisa, that Rabbi Eliezer Aymer, Ma'ale Sarishain, Amenas L'Sheichtai, one of the cows he could take out, take his choice between Betsy and her daughter, one of the cows he could take out, Ma'ale Sarishain Amenas L'Sheichtai, he takes out one, and he's gonna shach that one for his Sudas Yamtif, and then V'Sheichtai, and he shachts it, and he eats that, V'Hasheni Aysalai Parnasa Bimkaimai. With regards to the other cow, so what you could do is, the thing that Rabbi Eliezer was matters, and he said you could go get some food and you could throw it to the cow inside the bar. So you can't carry the second cow out of the bar, but you could go get some food and at least you could bring it to the cow so it could eat it inside the bar. That would be the Eitzah, so you shouldn't have any sort of financial loss. However, says the Braisa, that Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Eliezer says you could throw it some food so that it doesn't die. Rabbi Yeshua Aimer, Malas Harishain Al Minas L'Sheichtai. What you do is you take out one cow, let's say Betsy, you take Betsy out of the bar, and now that you have Betsy out of the bar, and again, you took out Betsy because it looked like a great animal to shecht, looked nice and fat and whatever, it was going to be geschmack for the Sudas Yamtif, and then Ve'enu Sheichtai. And then you look at Betsy, you take a second look, and you say, you know what, I'm not sure it looks too great. And you decide, no, I'm not going to shecht it. V'chayzer umarim umala hasheni. You look back into the bar, and you say, actually, Betsy's daughter looks even better looking to eat. And you do this harama, and then you take out Betsy's daughter from the bar. And then, now you have both of the cows out of the bar, and you can take another look at them. Ratzazeh sheichet. And you can decide whichever one actually looks better. But Rabbi Yeshua allows this harama. Rabbi Yeshua allows the person to do this harama in order to get both of the cows outside of the bar. So you see that Rabbi Yeshua, in order to prevent a financial loss, he's makel on Hilchos Yom Tov. He allows a total shalei letzarech in order to prevent a financial loss. So he's the Tana who also permits the total shalei letzarech by the fruits. He allows a person to take the fruits and to throw it down into the house and to do that to prevent a financial loss. So that's Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer would disagree. And Rabbi Eliezer is the Tana of our Mishnah, Lama Vavav Abayz, who says that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is Eichon Nefesh. Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says that this Ukimta is not Muchach. Why? Miman, who says, how can you make such an ukimta that this is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's Shita, making a whole Shita Sachaim out of it that Rabbi Yeshua holds, that we always are makel on Hilchos Yom Tov to prevent a financial loss, and Rabbi Eliezer is very strict about it. Who says, Dilma ad kan like Amar Rabbi Eliezer Hasam? Maybe Rabbi Eliezer said his din Dafka over there. Maybe Dafka by this case of Betsy and her daughter, that's where Rabbi Eliezer did not give a heter to do a total shalol tzarich and take both of them out. He Davka said it over there because you have another option. Because you could throw food into the bar and give it to the second cow. So you have another option which works. Aval Hachab, when it comes to the fruit that's on the roof, if you don't bring the fruit down, it's going to get wet and it's going to spoil. And you don't have any other option to protect it. Delay Afshar b'Parnasa. There's no such thing as giving it Parnasa. That's not the sugya over there. So why? Maybe over there, Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't aser you. you to bring the fruit down from the roof. Meaning maybe Rabbi Eliezer, by the fruit case, would tell you that you are allowed to bring the fruit down from the roof and do a tilto shlo letzairich. Ah, he didn't allow you to do the tilto shlo letzairich by the case of the cows in the bar. That's because you had another eitzah. Inami, another way we could make it that prove that this ukimta is not muchach, is because I could tell you the other direction. That ad kan likamer Rabbi Yeshua hasam ela de'efshir la'arume. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua, who allowed you to do a tilto shlo letzerich by the case of the cows in the pit, he only allowed you to do the tilto shlo letzerich in that case because you had a harama. You had some sort of trick which made it that it looked like you were sincere. It looked like you were taking this one out and you changed your mind. You had a whole funny, fun shtick. So that's why he allowed you to do the tilto shlo letzerich, because you had a way of covering it up. Abul Hacha, but by the case of the fruits that are on the roof, where you don't have any sort of harama to do, there's a lot of fruits up there, I guess, you're not eating all the fruits, so you don't have any sort of harama, and maybe in that case, Rabbi Yeshua would not give a heter to bring all the fruits down from the roof. So you can't prove that Rabbi Yeshua is the tan of that Mishnah by the fruits, and it's not like Rabbi Eliezer, this whole Kimta was not Muchach Bechla. So again, so we're still stuck then, that we seem to have a stira between the two Mishnayas. On Amid Vav Amibiz, we say that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is Eichel Nefesh, but then on Amid Hey Amibiz, we had that there was a heter to bring the fruits down from the roof on Yom Tov, and that heter doesn't apply to Shabbos. So El Amra Papa, Rapapa says like this, that like Kasha, it's not a stira, Habei Shammai, Habei Hillel. The Mishnah by the fruits is Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel gives that heter. The Mishnah of Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Tov Elo Eichel Nefesh Bovad, that's Beis Shammai. What does that mean? That none. We learned in the Mishnah. We had this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta on Yud Beis Amid Aleph, I believe it was. On Yud Beis Amid Aleph. So Beis Shammai Oimrim Ein Maitzien Lo Yasa Katan V'Lo Yasa Lula V'Lo Yasa Sefer Torah L'Rishas HaRabim. Beis Shammai says that Haitzah on Yom Tov is only mutter if you're doing it Litzarech. Litzarech Eichel Nefesh. It has to be Litzarech. But you're not allowed to carry a child outside on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to carry your lulav outside on Yom Tov in the Rosh Hashanah. And you're not allowed to carry a Sefer Torah. It has to be a Litzarech. It has to be Litzarech Achila. Otherwise, you're not allowed to carry outside on Yom Tov. Ubeisil Matzirin. Whereas Beis Hillel holds that all these things are mutter. Beis Hillel says that even though Itzah Shalai Litzarech is mutter. So the Gemara seems to be saying that just like Beis Hillel holds that Itzah Shalai Litzarech is mutter on Yom Tov, so too Beis Hillel would be mutter the case of the fruits, which is a case of a tiltul Shalai Litzarech. And Beis Shammai, who says that Haitzah Shaloi Letzairich is Aser, so he'll tell you that you're not allowed to take the fruits down from the roof, and that's not going to be a heter on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do a Tilto Shaloi Letzairich, just like you're not allowed to do a Haitzah Shaloi Letzairich. And the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is Eichel Nefesh, not the case of the fruits. That's what Beis Shammai would tell you. Ask the Gemara, what type of extension is this from Haitzah to Tilto? Dilmalayi. Maybe it's not like that at all. Ad kan likamri Beis Shammai hasam ela Haitzah of Tilto loy. All you see from the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amid Aleph is that Beis Shammai asered Haitzah shelo letzairich. Where do you see from there that Beis Shammai would also aser Tilto shelo letzairich? So says the Gemara, no, it makes actually a lot of sense. The gap between Haitzah and Tiltol is very thin. Because Atu Tiltol Lav Tzarech Haitzahu, any time you want to do Haitzah, you have to first be metaltalit. And in fact, Chazal were only geyser on Tiltol because of the fact that you might end up then carrying it out. So the same Beis Shammai who holds that you're not allowed to do Haitzah L'Shol Tzarech would tell you that you're not allowed to do Tiltol Shol Tzarech, because once you pick it up, you might end up carrying it outside. So it actually makes a lot of sense. So that's the Gemara's Maskana. That the Mishnah, Alamed Heyom Ebeiz, which says that you're allowed to bring the fruits down from the roof, that's Beis Hillel. That Beis Hillel, who holds that Itzah, Shalol Itzarech is Mutter, they gave a heter also to carry these fruits down. There's no need to make a gzera that you might carry it out. outside and there was just a rabbim or anything like that, because haitzah shelo letzarich is mutter. Whereas Beis Shammai, who says that haitzah shelo letzarich is aser, so Beis Shammai would tell you that you're not allowed to bring the fruits down from the roof, and who adin Beis Shammai would then tell you that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is eichel nefesh. So it comes out a very interesting thing. It's a Mishnah that we have a couple times. We're going to have it in Megillah soon. That ain bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos elo eichel nefesh bovad. That halacha, that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is eichel nefesh, is really a Mishnah that's a libah de Beis Shammai. It's only according to Beis Shammai that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is eichel nefesh.